Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DeathStroke.com comic book podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Things from Another World. TFAW.com has over 20,000 pop culture products with comics, toys, statues, apparel, graphic novels, and other such things. They carry a huge variety of popular entertainment products from hundreds of manufacturers like DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, like toy makers and stuff like that. They have tons of fantastic stuff on there. So click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site for TFAW and go check out some awesome geeky shit. That's Things from Another World, TFAW.com. While we don't have as many awesome things or any awesome things, we do have our own store. So head over to deathstoreprods.com/store and check that shit out. As always, we are accepting design art for products. If you are interested in helping us beef up our store, then please submit your designs to bovion at deathstoreprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like what we see, we'll make a bunch of products out of that, and we will give you a commission based on how well those products sell. Priority will be given to Deathstroke Prods jokes and references and stuff, but if you just have some art you think is cool, you think we would like, please don't hesitate to send it our way. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Join me today, we have bovion.
Actually, bovion's away sick, so today we're joined by the 15-year-old self of bovion, whose voice is cracking.
And Steven.
Hello!
Apparently his voice is cracking, too.
My voice crack?
I don't know. But anyway,
that wasn't a voice crack. This is a voice crack!
Oh, God.
You guys? comic books.
Yeah, let's talk about some fucking comic books. Yeah, so 15-year-old prepubescent bovion, what have you been reading?
Ooh. Hi. Okay, so I've got about three things to talk about. So let's start off with a really good one. Walking Dead issue 104.
Yes. Carl Man.
Carl, I think in the long run he's caused problems by doing this, but he Carled his way to Carling and being Carl.
Yeah, he just like, fuck you, I'm Carl.
Just like, what? Giving in to them? No, I'm going to take a gun and kill all of them myself.
Yeah, like, oh man. I love Carl. Like, I know that sounds wrong, but Carl's awesome.
And I love how Negan points out that Carl scares the shit out of him. Because Carl would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, of course. Like, he's a kid with one eye, a cowboy hat, and a fucking big gun. He's terrifying.
Yeah, who wouldn't be afraid of that? That's totally fucking terrifying.
Yeah, Steve, would you be afraid of that?
Afraid of what?
A 10-year-old with one eye, a cowboy hat, and a gun as big as him.
I'd be taken aback.
Taken aback, that's all, eh?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know, like, it's a 10-year-old. I'm pretty tall.
Okay, how about this? A 10-year-old with one eye, a cowboy hat, a gun as big as him, and a killing streak.
Oh, yeah, I'd be scared of that.
Yeah, considering the fact that he's killed, like, how many people now? Like, not zombies, just people.
Yeah. How many people?
So, I know we have Shane. We have one of the twins.
Shane, one of the twins. I actually can't think of anyone else.
He took fuckers down.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
He's taking the fuckers down, yeah.
I mean, like, when you were 10, if you were in a group in, like, a post-apocalyptic wasteland, would you have, like, the gall to kill someone who needs to be killed?
Probably not. I was kind of a wuss.
Yeah, Carl's just like, you're a threat, boom.
Yeah, I'd probably be scared.
So what if you're a kid who's younger than me? Blat!
Yeah. I'm like deeply thinking about this now.
Yeah, it's
because like I'm taller than a 10-year-old. I could probably take a 10-year-old, but he has a gun that's really big, and he's used it.
Yeah, and he probably has like
I'm not very strong.
He probably has like knives on him too.
Yeah.
So if he got close enough to actually, if he was like fumbling around the trigger, like trying to shoot you, and maybe managed to like run up on him and get the gun in time, he'd still probably be able to stab you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. I want Carl on my side.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that. Go, Carl.
Woo!
You know who else I want on my side? Jesus.
Yes, old Jesus.
Because, yeah, it looked bad there for Jesus for a moment, but of course he is a gifted fucking escape artist.
Oh, yeah, he is. I'm beginning to really like him. Like, when he first started out, I was like, eh, about him, but now I'm like, now I'm coming around.
Now, my big thing is, I'm wondering how much Carl has fucked up Rick's plans by being there, or if Jesus will just be like, hey, Carl, let's disappear. Poof.
Yeah, he doesn't even just, that's not even just sound effect. Actually, it's just him throwing out a smoke pellet.
Ooh.
Just, he's gone.
Or will Carl actually kill every single person there? That's always possible.
Well, how many clips can he attend? How many clips can he carry, honestly? Like,
not enough.
That's a pretty big camp. And a clip for the gun that he was using only has so many bullets in it.
You know what, though? If modern first
shooters are to be believed, that clip holds about 30 bullets.
The people there aren't all very happy with their lot in life. Negan pretty much mistreats all of them. Carl will just lead the uprising.
Yeah, well, actually, he really only needs one bullet. Just kill Negan to take over.
Yeah, had he shot smart instead of... Had he brought his pistol instead of an assault rifle and just shot Negan once in the head instead of spray and praying like he did... Yeah, he could just be like, I'm the new leader now. They'd be like, all hail Carl.
Yeah.
Then he'd get all the bitches.
Carl's already getting all the bitches. Anyway, yeah, Walking Dead 104, it's cool.
So moving on, we got some Deadpool shit.
Which Deadpool? Dan Slott Deadpool or New Deadpool?
New Deadpool.
Awesome. What do you think of it?
I thought it was amazing. Hold on, I'm getting a phone call.
Okay.
Who is it?
1-866, you're not worth my time. Okay, so.
Deadpool.
Yeah. Deadpool. Yes, I really like the Marvel Now Deadpool.
Yeah. And good connection, too, because Tony Moore did art for Walking Dead, and he does art for Deadpool.
Yay! And you can actually kind of see the connections.
Yeah, and it's in color.
Oh, yeah. And, well, some of the colors are a bit more faded than I would like. The colors that are used are generally used very well.
Yeah, what are you thinking of, like, the... Like Deadpool, he looks a bit different. Like before, his skin was messed up, but it still looked like skin. And now he looks like he has like chunks of skin missing.
Now he looks like Freddy Krueger.
A bit.
That's my only issue, is that he looks too much like Freddy Krueger.
Actually, I think he looked more like Freddy Krueger before. Like with this one, like his skin is still there, but you can see like the musculature underneath. But like, yeah, like with this one, he just looks. He actually looks kind of like one of the zombies.
Yeah. I don't mind it in general. I thought the yellow eyes was a bit odd.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
But anyways, yeah, it's... The look of Deadpool is good in general.
Yeah, I like how his mask now isn't just, like, flicking forward to his head. There's, like, a little bit of tail coming off the end of it. Like before his mask fit completely like perfectly fine, but now it looks like the mask is like a little bit too big for him, and there's like a little bit of it that still could be stretched out, just poking out at the end. It looks kind of like a little hood thing poking out of it.
It's had that for a while. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes depending on the artist, but in recent issues of pre now Deadpool, it was just like a fully formed mask that just fit perfectly.
Yeah. Okay.
So one thing I really liked, story-wise, a couple of things. One, the whole setup for what Deadpool's doing now.
Oh, it's fucking amazing.
why S.H.I.E.L.D. goes to him, all that shit. Like, it was brilliantly set up. Like, he's the only person for the job now.
Yeah, like, who else? Like, yeah, they do a really good job of actually setting up why did Captain America do this shit. It's
and yeah, I like that they had Captain America just decapitate one of the former presidents.
Yeah, that was yeah. Well, it's Captain America. Like if someone showed up and says, "I'm a strong America," what's Captain America gonna do? Just say no? Like just there's like, oh okay, go ahead. No, you're gonna cut the fucking head off.
And the one thing I really liked story-wise, though, is that just seeing how much everyone hates Deadpool.
Yes. Yeah, those are always like the greatest stories. Just seeing Deadpool interacting with people who just absolutely hate him, but he doesn't. But he either A, doesn't notice, or B, doesn't care.
Like, even people on the street, we hate you. You better clean up this mess. I just saved you from a giant lizard monster. Yay, thank you, Thor.
Yeah, well, a couple of people aren't like that myth with him, like the firefighter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're just like, oh, hey, bro, you okay? You know, like, come on, we should probably get out of here. Like, shit's going down. And they have that nice little conversation. But anyway, have you only read the
shows us what his face looks like?
Yeah, but anyway, have you only read the first issue so far, or have you got to look at the second? First
issue, I have the second, like. I have it. I'm ready to read it. I just haven't yet.
It's so good. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's so good.
And I've never actually read an afterword letter by Deadpool before. I enjoy that he refers to himself as a voice in the writer's head.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't actually read that. Like
it's really entertaining.
I usually don't read afterwards or anything.
Yeah, the letters from Deadpool are really entertaining.
Okay, well, does he say, in the writer's head as, like, R apostrophe S or RS apostrophe? I'm just wondering that because there are two writers now for Deadpool.
Yeah, he referred to specific people. I just don't remember names.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the writers now are Brian Posehn and Gary Duggan.
Let me double check. Yes.
Okay. Oh man, yeah. But just as someone who's been reading Deadpool for a while now, one thing I do miss is his text boxes.
I know. I definitely miss those.
Yeah, like while like Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe was kind of shit, they at least still had the text box.
I'm about to talk about that.
Okay, so I guess a good segue.
So Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. I've only read the first two issues so far. I haven't finished it. Couple things I enjoyed. I definitely liked, like you said, the voice boxes still being there. I really like that the reason he goes crazy is just like one of the text boxes starts telling him different shit. I like how that's important to the plot.
Yeah, but it's kind of...
I really like that what the reason he's doing it is because he knows they're all in a comic book and so he feels they must all die.
Yeah, that you're like if it just had gone with that, like if they just had gone with one of his text boxes turns evil, that would have been fine. But I feel like having like Dr. Psycho or whoever the fuck turned him like gave him
Psycho
that other text box.
That was Psycho all Man. Unnecessary. That was all unnecessary.
Yeah, like Deadpool's already on the edge, like in every second he could just snap and kill everything, so you didn't really need Psycho Man to just push him over the edge. He would have fallen over the edge eventually.
Just have him snap whenever.
He just like sitting there eating a chimichanga, and then all of a sudden someone knocks it out of his hand. He's like, "All right, fuck this."
And I did say this, that I really wish they had done it in the way that they have Deadpool leave the comics and kill the writers. I thought that would have been hilarious. But the way they had him kill the Watcher, that was good. That's the that's close enough.
Yeah, I think he actually... I seem to remember him actually going out and killing the writers.
It would be amazing if that happens. I haven't read to the end. If that's how it goes, I will be in love with this. Because as soon as I heard the series announced, I'm like, that's what has to happen.
Yeah, like Deadpool. Yeah, like as soon as the series announced, I just started like building up all this shit in my head about what it was going to be, and I feel like the series just kind of let me down. It was like I didn't find the art very good. The setup was interesting. The actual way they got to it wasn't very good.
Yeah. There are points where it falls flat, but I do still genuinely enjoy it.
Okay.
One point with the Watcher, though, the entire time I felt like he was emoting too much.
Yeah, wasn't that like the thing? Like, Steven, you probably know more about the Watcher than us. Isn't that like kind of the Watcher's thing where like he is like the part of like the race of beings that he's part of? They are all like emotionally attached to stuff, but he is like kind of more emotionally invested in the world.
Yeah, his kind of thing. The thing with the Watchers where they're like so many years there's a new Watcher who lives on the moon and their job is to watch humanity and just like kind of watch it and just kind of write it all down kind of and from what I remember, the Elder Watchers are like, you guys can't interact with the peeps, yo. And this one, he's like the youngest one. Yeah, and he was like, no, I'm gonna do stuff. So like when Galactus shows up, he's like, yo, these guys are okay, you should leave them be.
Yeah, and he's constantly like, does he like constantly like appear on Earth whenever something big is going down?
He'll just kind of show up and people are like, uh-oh.
It's like walking down the street on Saturday, all of a sudden Watcher just appears in the middle of the street.
Yeah,
fuck
yeah. And people are like, oh man, that sucks. Yeah, so he kind of just, like, he emotes, but I don't think he's supposed to emote a lot. Like, he's just kind of, like, invested more than emotionally attached.
Okay.
This is, like, bad Shakespearean actor emoting.
He's hamming it up something fierce.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That sucks.
There's one pose that I can only describe as the anime pose. It's where you're sorrowful and you actually ball a fist in front of your face and look downwards with your eyes closed. I can only describe that as the anime pose. He does that.
Oh god, that.
But my favorite line from the entire comic is when Deadpool goes up to the Watcher and he says, "Who are you talking to?"
And they just look at the reader.
Just like, I know you're out there, and it makes me feel like, fuck, he's coming for me.
Well, we knew it was going to happen eventually.
Deadpool will eventually get off the pages and try to kill us all.
Yeah, it's written in the stars. We just got to just keep an eye out for Uatu.
All right, and ending with Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe, that's all I've been reading.
Okay, Steven.
Mm-hmm.
What you been reading, bro?
Oh, okay. So first I'm going to talk about... I like to try to have like one really bad comic to talk about. Because I don't like having too many positive reviews. Because I'm jaded and dark-hearted.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Okay.
I know, like... I want to say I normally like this book. I don't know how accurate that is.
Well, until recently.
Yeah, until she went into the team went into space. I was like, this book's pretty okay.
Yeah,
but they left space.
They're back on Earth.
Yeah, but like it's all drawn really bad. Like they went to Earth and everything looks ugly. And just like Superman shows up, it's a whole issue on Superman wanting to talk to them, and they're like, no, we don't want to talk to you. And he's like, but I gotta talk to you guys. Yeah, and he just keeps bugging them. Yeah, and like he's got, it's such a dumb issue because like nothing happens until the end.
They shoot him.
And it's a stupid thing in the end.
They shoot him.
Yeah, they shoot him. It's great because like Jason's got like, he shoots him with like space guns, and Starfire shoots him with her thing, and then there's like an arrow
just splintering
off. A single arrow that snaps in half. That's probably the high point of this issue. Is just Roy shoots him with an arrow, and it's stupid.
Yeah, the high point for me was like when Jason said Superman's kind of an asshole.
Yeah,
like that is, I've been saying that for years.
Mm-hmm, yeah, well, it's when I was reading it, I'm like, I hope they talk about how the time Jason actually saved Superman's life back in I'm going to say the 70s. Alan Moore wrote a Superman story for The Man Who Has Everything. And like it's like this plant attaches to Superman and like makes him kind of a coma state and making him dream stuff. And Jason saves his life from taking the plant off of him.
Well, they didn't mention like, it.
Yeah, they did. I was pretty happy. I was like, all right, they mentioned it in like a stupid way. I think they mentioned like an inner monologue box or something.
Now, wasn't it like they were like Superman was talking to them. It's like, Jason, what happened to you, man? You saved my life once, and now you're this.
Yeah, that was what it was. That was dumb. Just Superman looked really dumb in it. He looked like a dummy. Like his face was all drawn weird.
Okay.
And like this person thought like they shadowed weird things, so it looked all weird. So anyway, so they talk to Superman about something that doesn't even matter. They're like, oh, did this alien talk to you? And Starfire's like, yeah, he did. And Superman's like, okay, bye. That's like 2/3 of the issue is him just asking her if this dude talked to her. And she said yes, and then he flies away. And then they're like, hey, you got to bring this girl back to Gotham. And Jason stays with her. And then he takes a shower after they bang. And then the Joker killed her.
Yep.
And it was so dumb. I was like, why would this even happen? The Joker's on TV talking to him in a way that TVs don't work.
They needed to tie it into, I guess, the death of the family.
Yeah, I don't know. That was dumb. So, right away, that was dumb. And the artist is bad. I wish they'd bring back the other guy. But yes, I think he's busy working on Superman now.
Yeah, so this issue was drawn by Pascal Alexi.
Yeah, it's not drawn by Racofort, whom I actually really like because he has an interesting style.
Yeah, he's a good artist.
Yeah, but he's drawing Superman now, and I don't read that. Yeah. So anyways, I'm going to move on to Justice
League. I do. It's okay.
Hmm?
I read Superman. It's okay.
No, I don't read it because I just don't.
They have dragons now.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I heard Superman got attacked by a dragon.
Yeah, and Ha'el is coming.
Yeah, I don't want to read Ha'el.
I have no idea what Ha'el actually is or like what its motivations are. It's
weird. Apparently, Ha'el was going to be Bizarro. And then they were like, this isn't acting like how Bizarro would act. We're just going to call him Ha'el.
Yeah, I can see how they got Bizarro out of that because he is like gray, crackly skin with a backwards S on his chest.
Yeah, so it was pretty much Bizarro.
Yeah, but now he's, like, speaking in non-reverse sentences. He's not an idiot. He has some weird thing where he's, like, trying to kill Superboy because he's, like, an abomination and trying to restore Krypton or something. Wow. He's trying to get with Supergirl, I think. I don't know. It's weird.
Comics. The thing about comics is they make it hard to like comics sometimes.
Yeah.
Just, like... man, like, come on. Why don't you just make it Bizarro? Just make it Bizarro. Everyone likes Bizarro.
Yeah.
Bizarro's great.
Yeah, or, you know, have Lex Luthor actually do something.
Yeah. Has Lex Luthor still not done anything?
Nothing.
Because I read Action Comics. He hasn't done anything in that.
I don't think he's even been in an issue of.
He was in like two issues of Action when it first started.
Yeah, and he got a bit more when like they got bottled by the Collector.
Yeah. Oh, he's gonna show up later in Hell. I think he shows up after Hell happens.
Okay, that'll be nice. But yeah, it's just.
Come on, it's like, ooh, what are like, you guys doing?
Yeah, like a good chunk of Superman, like near the beginning, was, oh hey, it's crypto people.
Yeah. Oh, and man, I'm so tired of crypto people.
And then, oh hey, there's this Russian alien from another dimension or something, and then there's this lady who can hurt you when she's robbing banks, and some guy revealed Superman's secret identity, but he really didn't. And
oh, I remember that.
And Superman's trying to hook up, and like Lois Lane's trying to hook up Superman with her sister or something.
Yeah, that's when I stopped reading it. So I was like, I was going to pick it up again after, I think there was some arc that I was like, I'm not interested in this. I was going to pick it up again, and then I just never did.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was the arc with, like, Secret Identity.
Yeah, I think that one just ended, and, like, the artist changed, and I was like, this doesn't even look nice anymore. So, yeah, you know, Superman, like, I like Superman as a character, and I like Action Comics.
Action Comics is good.
Yeah, but it's going to stop being good eventually because Grant Morrison's leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be so sad. I'm going to actually be, like, so sad.
Yeah, like, Grant Morrison's a great writer.
Yeah, no, he's like, oh, I don't want to do monthlies anymore. It's too much work.
Well, it is.
Yeah, no, I understand. Come on, man, it's your job.
Yeah, but, like, he's Grant fucking Morrison. He'd probably just sit down for, like, 3 months, write out, like, 7 issues, and then just go, here you go, I'm gonna go, take a nap for the rest of the year.
I'm gonna do some magic. And yeah. Some drugs.
I'm gonna go get some fancy sunglasses and then sit in a lawn chair with drugs.
Yeah. Like, personified drugs. Anyways, I'm gonna talk about Justice League. I forget, yeah, Justice League is weird because Superman turned into the cheetah.
Yeah, because...
For an issue.
Yeah, because the cheetah's now a god.
I think she always kind of was. Like, the cheetah god isn't a new idea. They just kind of... They took all the different cheetahs there were and made it to one person.
Okay.
And anyway, so the cheetah was a thing. And, oh, right, I know why I wanted to talk about this. So they got Tony Daniel to draw it now. And everyone looks like they're wearing eyeliner. It's really funny.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Tony Danza.
They got Tony Danza to dance on each issue.
Yeah. They got Tony Danza to draw the art.
Yeah. So, like, everyone looks really macabre and, like, have dark eyeliner and everyone's talking, like... I just imagine they're all talking, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and someone's, like, pulling the cheetah's strings or something?
Yeah, there's something going on with the cheetah. I hope it's, like, Young Justice, where it's the light. That'd be cool.
Oh, okay.
That'd actually make me really happy. But it's probably not. It's probably going to be, like, the Injustice League. I hope Metallo's in the Injustice League. I like Metallo.
Yeah.
I just brought Metallo because I like him.
Yeah, thinking about it now, I would... They're probably not going to do this. It's probably a stupid idea, but, like, Dr. Light?
Oh, maybe the Light Dr. Light will show up again. I hope he's not a creepy rapist.
Yeah, like, not rapist, but, like, sadistic.
Yeah.
Like...
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like, when he's not, like, you know, him having, like, the intelligence to break into, like, the Watchtower, like, and him having, like, the sadisticness to do something that really hurts one of the members, but not, you know, raping...
Yeah, that's dumb. It's dumb when they do that.
Yeah.
There was like an issue of like Green Arrow or something, and like it had Dr. Light in it, and he's like, I'm going to rape everybody. And he just kept saying it over and over. And I was like, who wrote this and was like, this is art?
Was that like a spinoff thing that happened because of Identity Crisis?
Maybe. I think it might have been, yeah, maybe. I don't know what it was. I just saw like the couple panels.
Because yeah, that might have just been Identity Crisis.
Yeah, maybe. It probably came out. It came after Identity Crisis because Identity Crisis he raped the Elongated Man's wife.
No, but in that one he raped her in the past.
Oh, okay. Then maybe I don't know.
Yeah, like in Identity Crisis, it is revealed that he actually did rape her, and then Zatanna, Hawkman, Green Lantern, The Flash, Green Arrow. they like lobotomized him.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing to Batman.
Yeah, with magic.
Yeah. And Batman, like, he figured it out and just let it be. He didn't get out. He didn't go, no one fucking lobotomizes Batman, and then just break all their necks. Like, seriously, Batman, he would just, if he figured out someone lobotomized him, he'd just be like, fuck you, batarang in the throat.
Don't do that. I'm so upset with you. And then, anyway, speaking of Batman being crazy, watching Superman and Wonder Woman making out in Justice League.
Yeah. That.
And he looks unpleased with this. I hope there's a whole issue where he's like, you guys shouldn't be doing that.
He probably wants Wonder Woman for himself.
I hope so.
He probably wants Superman for himself.
Well, it could go either way, depending on like how you look at it, because like it could go like the Superman Batman route, because in that, cause, like Superman Batman, they were real bro-y. It was weird those two together.
In like the Superman Batman like
miniseries, like the series, the ongoing.
Yeah.
The one that introduced Supergirl.
Yeah. Or reintroduce Supergirl.
Yeah, reintroduced her to the...
Reintroduced for, like, the fourth time. But, yeah, I get...
Got Supergirl proper back.
Yeah. They were, like, best pals. Yeah. They were best pals.
Or they could go, like, the Justice League Unlimited route of him developing a relationship with Wonder Woman.
Which I totally loved, and it was so natural.
Yeah, like, I want to see that!
It made so much sense.
Yeah, like, Superman Wonder Woman, fuck that noise. Batman Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Batman. Yeah, shipping. OTP.
Yeah.
It was also in Justice League. The backstory for Shazam. I miss this. I miss Shazam. Because, like, there wasn't in it a couple issues.
Yeah, now we're back, and he's using that money to go get a trench coat and food.
Because I get, like, I assume he hasn't figured out how to stop being Shazam.
No, I'm pretty sure he doesn't even, he's not really entirely sure how he actually turned into Shazam in the first place.
Yeah, he probably has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. And then, like, we got 10 bucks left. Let's go get food. And I was like, this is great. And Black Adam's really awesome.
Yeah.
He threw a dude out of a building, and he's like, you slaves are free. And then they get all mad at him. He's like, why are you mad? You mad, bro?
Yeah, like, I was like Black Adam as a anti-hero instead of just a straight-up villain.
Mm-hmm. This is cool. And then, like, the like villain team he's making sounds even more awesome. He's going to get the Seven Deadly Sins.
Yes,
he is. As villains. I'm so excited.
Yeah, he got Sloth.
And Sloth looks like a terrifying troll, and I love it.
It was actually hilarious when they first introduced Sloth. It's like,
put the peach under the door. I don't want to get up.
And then just Black Adam walks in, it's like, sup, Sloth.
And he's like, what are you talking about? It's like, you're Sloth. And he's like, oh, right. Okay, we gotta move on, because I got two more to do.
Okay.
Next is Batman, which is amazing.
Fucking Batman!
Oh man, this is an epic. That's what this is.
It is. Joker's back in full force, man.
Joker wins this issue. He totally won.
Yeah, I love his new costume too.
Oh yeah, like the like garage worker.
It is like Joe Fix It.
Yeah. Yeah, oh man, and like his face is all messed up and it's crazy. How is he talking? His lips don't work the way normal lips work. Who cares? It's scary.
He has duct tape.
Yeah, maybe. Oh man, just like, and the sequence, like the writer, Scott Snyder, was talking about this sequence before this issue came out, where Batman's driving on the motorcycle and he has nobody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, don't think about it. Don't think about how quiet this drive is.
Yeah.
It's so eerie.
It's great.
Oh man, I was just like, this is what it'd be like if he didn't have Alfred. He wouldn't. He'd be like, what do? Who do? I don't know who to talk to.
Yeah.
And like talks to Dick, and Dick's like, why are you talking in code? And he's like, because Joker knows what's up. And a freaking Gordon just starts bleeding?
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
I thought he died.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, did they just kill out Gordon and not make a big deal out of it?
Yeah, and, oh god, it's so good.
And then, like, oh man, just, this is such a good, this is what, like, a crossover should be.
Yeah, but then when it's juxtaposed against one of the Batgirl tie-ins.
Oh yeah, was it bad?
The Joker asked her to marry him.
Hmm.
That's
fantastic.
I don't.
What a twist.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell is going on. Like, because in Batman, he's just like, I'm going to turn everyone against you. I'm going to make you kill your entire family.
That's so great.
Yeah, and then he's just like, hey, you want to get married?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's New 52 Batgirl for you. Just being the worst.
No, here's the thing. Like, I like New 52 Batgirl.
Yeah. I did for a while.
Like, she's not bad.
No. Just everything that happened. Like, she fought a dude who had mirrors on her. That was lame.
Yeah, but then she went up against, like, a hawk guy, a girl with super strength, and some other insane chick to try to get to, like, an 18-year-old who murdered her entire family.
Oh, sick. That does sound cool.
Yeah, who was, like, going around getting, like, low-level criminals off the street and putting them in bear traps and shit.
Oh, wow. That does sound cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, just... That does sound cool. Why do bad things happen to good characters?
Because fuck you.
Because the comics like to hear me cry.
Yeah. The publisher's just like Dan DiDio is just sitting there at night with his hand up to his ear, staring, like holding his ear to the window, waiting to hear you cry.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, just, ah, there it is.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Speaking of things that make me cry, Spider-Man.
Oh, yes.
698. This is getting intense.
Yes, it's fucking awesome, dude!
Yeah.
Bobby has no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
That's his fault. I am Peter Parker. What? And then they switch bodies.
So, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for 698. We are talking the fuck out of this.
Yeah. So basically what happens is Peter Parker is
Doctor Octopus.
Yeah. They switch bodies and then Peter dies in Doc Ock's body.
Yes.
Maybe.
He does die. Like, like with the preview that I posted for issue 700, available now on DeathDoorProducts.com.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Peter goes to heaven. Peter goes to the afterlife, sees Silver Sable, sees Captain George Stacy, Gwen Stacy, sees his parents, sees Uncle Ben.
Oh, man. Yeah, I saw that preview. That preview was great.
Yeah, and it's great that they have this little classified post-it note on one of the panels so that we can't actually hear what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's probably who's going to be the new Superior Spider-Man. That's my bet.
Oh, God.
I hope it's not Doc Ock, but, like, oh, man. Just friggin', and, like, this issue is such a simple issue.
Yeah.
Like, nothing much happens until, like, the last page.
Yeah, like, just going over it, like, actually trying to describe it, like, panel by panel to somebody, it's just kind of Peter Parker talking about what a good day he's having.
Yeah, and, like, he and Mary Jane get back together, and, like, work is going well, and, like, things aren't going that well with his step-uncle, but, like, that's fine. Like, that's just what being an adult is like.
Yeah, and then it's at the very end, it's like, Peter Parker.
And then, like, the Avengers are like, yo, you gotta talk to Doc Ock, he's saying your name. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm gonna go talk to him. And then he's like, what do you want, Doc Ock? I'm Peter Parker. And he's like, no, I'm Peter Parker.
Dun, dun, dun,
and then they switch.
I want to know when the fuck that happened.
I want to know how it happened. Like, it just happened.
I'm guessing it was like one of the Octobots.
Oh, maybe.
Like, didn't one of them survive or something? Like after like whole after the whole like end of the Earth thing.
Yeah.
One of the Octobots survived.
Yeah, because the issue starts with one like following him.
Yeah, and I mean, if
the theory I've seen online is that he was Doc Ock this whole issue.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Because he says a weird thing about Aunt May.
Yeah, like, just, like, listen to him talk. It didn't sound like he was talking about himself as himself. It sounded like he was talking about himself as somebody else.
Yeah, it was weird. And, like, he's listening to his voicemails, and there's one from Jay, Aunt May's husband.
Yeah, Jay Jonah Jameson Sr.
Yeah, and, like, he says, "That dear sweet woman." And that's such a weird thing to say about your elderly aunt.
Who is basically your mom.
Yeah, it's pretty much like saying, like, my mom is really nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
And, like, he has that meeting with his boss, and he's like, "Hey, boss, my next invention's going to be amazing."
Yeah. I call it the Octobot. I mean, Spider-Bot.
I mean a thing. It's a thing with legs. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I made it for Spider-Man. It makes zombies. I mean, cures a disease.
Cures zombies. That's what I meant to say.
It cures a disease. What disease? Well, let's step up to the disease wheel. It cures AIDS.
Yay! anyways, like, it was like, I was so happy with this issue.
Yeah.
When I finished it, I was like, I want the next issue now. That's what comics should be.
Yeah. This is the arc you end a series on.
Yeah. Like, you want to keep going, and you don't know what's going to happen. Though, I do have one con.
Okay.
There's, like, Spider-Man meets with the Avengers, and they have a different artist on this issue, which was fine until I saw Captain America in his new costume. It looks so clunky and, like, ugly.
Oh, I don't remember that. I'm just going to look this up.
Yeah. Because, like, I know he's got a new quote-unquote movie-friendly costume now. And, like, it's got, like, a helmet and, like, padding and all this stuff. Which is fine, but, like, this artist made it look like he was almost a robot with a face.
Okay.
And yeah. Just was like, this is weird. He looks so stiff and, like, not, I don't know. That was just me.
He looks not alive.
Yeah, he looks like a statue.
Yeah, he actually looks like a collectible.
Yeah.
Like, just looking at the art right now, it looks like his shoulders aren't. It looks like his arms aren't actually connected to his body, and it looks like he'd actually just rotate them up like 180 degrees.
Yeah, he looks like an action figure.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry, I shall stop them, and then just
like his head is so much smaller than the rest of his body.
That's Kung Fu Action Grip.
Yeah. Anyways, that was the only thing though. That was just me nitpicking.
But hey, it's what we do here.
Yeah, we nitpick.
Yeah.
Desktop.com,
your home for nitpicking since 2010.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all I have to talk about. The end.
Okay, so on to me. So I think this time I'll start with the issue that I read that I picked. So, Comeback.
What's that?
It is an interesting take on time travel.
Ah.
Yeah. So, in some point in the future, people will have invented time travel.
Good.
And I believe you're only able to go back like 2 months.
That's
fine. Yeah, but so this company has actually set up a business of, hey, did your loved one die in an accident? Well, pay us like $2 million. We'll go back in time and pull them out of that accident.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, but like in order to keep things like good so that time looks like it happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They will actually make sure the accident still happened, but just put a different body in place of yours.
That's suspicious.
Like, they have cadavers.
Oh, okay, that's good.
They don't just kill somebody and then throw them in a fire.
Oh, okay.
Like, so the first thing, there was a grandpa who was about to, like, have a house fire happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they showed up, and then, the issue starts out very oddly with just, hey, so, we're here to check your gas, like, we're checking everyone's living on, like, the neighborhood, just make sure, like, see if you can upgrade from your gas pump right now. It's like, huh, it's awfully late, isn't it? And this one guy's like, oh, fuck this, punches him out. They, like, tie him up, throw him in the back of the van, grab the body out of the back of their van, throw it in the house, and light the house on fire.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then they drive off to their time travel room.
Okay.
And once they get to the future, the guy explodes.
Whoa.
Because he has tumors.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently if you time travel with like diseases, it can like increase the infection rate of the disease and like cause horrible things to happen. Because if you have like tumors, the tumors can then expand like rapidly and just cause explosions everywhere.
That makes sense.
Like not like fire explosions, like blood explosions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, it's a take on time travel that we haven't really seen before.
Yeah, that sounds clever.
Like with a lot of time travel things, like with Red Wing, like just think this is kind of just like from my memory of the stuff. Like with Red Wing that happened recently, it was just we time travel and we just fight wars back there, so our future isn't destroyed. We have a paradox machine, or it's like shoot, we're back in time. Let's go back,
yeah,
or something. But with this, it's all right. So we can only go back in time 2 months. Let's just go back, grab this guy, bring him forward, get millions of dollars, and we go. It's really cool. The art is pretty good from what I remember of it. I can't exactly remember like vast details of art. Plus, I'm not very good at describing art. But I liked it. I liked the writing in it. The main characters, we don't know that much about them. They're just kind of... Have you seen the thing that has partners in it?
No. Huh?
Okay, so have you seen a story where there are two partners in some law enforcement officer position thing?
Sure.
It's pretty much that.
Okay. Buddy cop.
Kind of.
Okay.
It's not like a buddy cop thing. It's... I have no idea how to describe the relationship, but I know I'm doing a horrible job describing this series, but it is a cool series.
Okay.
I like the art. I like the writing. And the concept is actually really fascinating. And it's actually kind of cool because, like, for all intents and purposes, these people do die. They make sure these accidents happen so that history isn't changed.
Okay.
Say there's a person.
Okay.
It's like kind of high rank. Like they have money, but they aren't exactly like top crust. If they just disappeared, what would happen? Just think about that. It's like horrible. Just like manhunts, whole bunch of shit. There's like horrible things going wrong. But if they just die, then that's it. They're dead.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. So by actually having them still die in the timeline. Well, actually having everyone think they die in the timeline, it keeps things, like, relatively sober, and then they just, like, bring them to the future, and then let them just stew for a couple of days, like, a couple of months or something, in, like, some secure bunker, and then release them into the world, in some place that no one's ever seen them before.
Right.
It's a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway. Now, what did you guys pick? So, Steven.
I picked Captain America, number one.
Yeah, so, Captain America. The issue starts out with a woman being beaten.
That sucks.
Yep. It turns out it's Steve Rogers' mom.
Oh, that sucks.
Yep. She's being beaten by her dad while he's under the table watching it all.
Oh, man. This is depressing.
Yep. And so then she says, like, no matter what happens, just don't fall. Just keep standing back up. And then we see him gripping on the side of a plane that's in a death dive in the middle of Manhattan.
Oh, no.
So Captain America's fighting a guy called the Green Skull.
Right.
Who's a bioterrorist who believes that like man is horrible and it's like launching down like some weird like nerve bomb thing or something that'll turn everyone into plants.
Awesome.
Yeah, so then Captain America fixes all that and then he goes and meets his fiance.
Okay.
Sharon Carter, I believe her name is.
Yeah.
Cuz
this girl.
Apparently he got engaged or married or something.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, then he goes on train, and the train goes to Dimension Z, where he meets up with Arnim Zola.
Oh, man, that guy's the worst.
Yeah, who is sticking needles into him and siphoning off all that shit into a baby.
Neat.
Yeah, so then Captain America breaks out, takes the baby with him.
Okay.
And then this is the series. He's stuck in Dimension Z with a baby.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
It might be in Dimension Z, but it'll be an American baby.
Yeah, but it's weird. So even though he is like in the first issue, it ends with like him stuck in some place. We're not sure if it's still Dimension Z or if it's somewhere else because he went to the spaceship that left that leaves dimensions,
Okay.
but then he crashed it.
Oh.
And so he's just hanging out with the baby, and then but then with the preview cover for the next issue, the baby is like 7,
Yeah.
and he has long hair.
Yeah, I saw that.
He somehow got a gun.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's pretty good. It's drawn by John Romita, who did the Kick-Ass series. So the art, I really like the art.
I'm conflicted on my opinions of John Romita's.
Yeah, it has its points. It has its
Yeah.
points.
Okay.
Like some of his faces are a bit weird,
Yeah.
but a lot of the time we don't like.
You don't see their faces, so it's okay.
A good chunk of this comic, it doesn't focus on the faces of humans. It focuses on the faces of gentlemen with computer monitors for bodies who kind of look like MODOK with arms,
Right.
or like horde monsters or masks.
Okay.
So that works.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
yeah, it's like Sharon Carter, her face changes one like her face changes dramatically in one panel.
Oh
Comes out of nowhere. It looks like it was drawn by a different artist.
man.
But yeah, so it's also written by a Rick Remender.
Yeah.
This is a good writer. Like I've read stuff of his, I think, that I liked, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I can't remember anything of his that I've read.
That's fair. I feel like I've read something of his, but I don't know.
But yeah, this is the first Captain America series I've ever read.
Oh, really?
I've never been a fan of Captain America.
Oh,
Just as a concept.
yeah.
He just kind of like, he seems to me like a less interesting Superman. I'm
Mm.
already not that big a fan of Superman.
Right.
But yeah, this was a good start.
Okay.
So yeah, check this out. It's part of Marvel Now, issue one. I'm
Yeah.
gonna keep reading all the issues now, if all the issue ones for Marvel Now I can find.
Yeah, because I was almost gonna pick it up last week.
I think it came out last week.
Yeah, I was looking at it. I was like, I should get this, and then I was like, no. So I might get it next or this week.
You might have already gotten it by the time this goes up.
Yes. That's why I was confused on how to word that sentence.
Yeah. Anywho, Captain America number one. It's pretty good. I liked it.
Okay.
Anyway, so Bobby Wan, your pick.
I picked Lock and Key Omega, I believe it was.
So, Lock and Key. I'm pretty sure this is the final series for Lock and Key. So this is the sixth book, I believe. The sixth series.
Ow.
You had like Welcome to Lovecraft, A Crown of Shadows, Head Games, this is Clockworks, and another one. And then Omega. And yeah, so at the end of Clockworks. Actually, so I should probably go back a bit. So the whole idea for this series is there's this family, the Locke family. They're the people we focus on are the kids, Ty, Kinsey, and Bode. So one day their father's murdered, and then they go, and then after that happens, they move to their ancestral home in Massachusetts, called Key House. And once there, they discover all these magical keys that, when used in the right doors, cause magical things to happen, like turning a room into a mouth, causing if. Like growing to the size of a giant, being able to control shadows, changing genders, turning into animals.
These are all important powers.
Yes, but anyway, this is one specific door that, when you leave it, your soul is ejected from your body. So your body just falls down dead, but your soul is still walking around.
Neat.
And so, if someone walked that door. Like soul was ejected, they wandered around as a ghost, but then when they came back, their body was gone.
Oh.
Their soul would just be wandering around the house forever. But then if someone else walked through that door, then the person whose body was taken, they would be able to go into that body that was just recently evacuated and take it over.
Can trade husks.
Yeah. And so Bode, one day, he went through that door, but unfortunately, on the other side of that door was the ghost of Dodge, who is the main bad guy of the series. And so then Dodge took over Bode's body. and proceeded to kill a couple of his friends.
Oh, man.
By pushing them in front of buses, stabbing them, destroying their lighthouse they live in. But anyway, so Dodge's entire goal is to get the Omega Key, which opens the black door, which behind the black door, we learned about this in Clockworks, is another dimension filled with like psychic parasites that feed off of people's minds and like cause them to go insane and start killing everybody. Dodge is infected with one of these, and so what he wants to do is open up the door, let them all out so they can take over the world. Yeah. So now Dodge has the Omega Key. And he got the Omega Key at the end of Clockworks, and now he's just setting things in motion to open up the black door. But here's, so the other two kids, Kinsey and Ty, they have no idea their brother's been possessed. They just think, hey, it's Bode. And so while this is happening, they're dealing with some fallout from them misusing the keys. Specifically Kinsey, because Kinsey, what she did was, she was scared and she cried a lot in the previous series. So what she did was she actually used the head key, which lets you open up your head and like see personifications of all your emotions and memories. She opened it up and took out her fear and her sadness.
Oh.
And she turned into kind of a bitch.
Oh, man.
But not intentionally. She was just like, yeah, just fuck around doing some shit. And that like ended up hurting people that really liked her. So she just kind of, oh, fuck. I messed those up. So then she put her sadness and fear back into her head and is they're all just dealing with the fallout from everything that happened with them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so the issue just kind of jumps back and forth between showing us what Bode / Dodge is doing and this English kid who's a friend of Kinsey's filming a video about their school and just having the just seeing what's happened to these characters over time.
Okay.
And also, really cool thing, Ty is making his own key.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the keys are actually made out of those beings that come from that other dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they don't latch onto a soul in our dimension, they just turn into iron, essentially.
Okay.
If you use, like, Whispering Iron, I believe they call it, and if you, like, forge it into keys, then those keys have special abilities.
Okay.
And so, Ty's father, he was actually part of these guys called the Guardian, like Keepers of the Keys, who were just these group of kids in high school who figured out about all these keys and then just started using them. Dodge was originally a part of them before he got possessed. And so while he was getting possessed, a piece of the thing that possessed him like got left out, and so then Ty's dad took that and made actually a fishing lure out of it and then put it on Ty's hat. And so Ty realized this, took the lure, and is now making his own key.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is really confusing to anyone out there who doesn't like know what the fuck I'm talking about, but
like me.
Yeah. This series is fantastic.
I can't follow it.
Yeah. Like the writing is really great. Like Joe Hill is writing it, who's Stephen King's kid who doesn't like fall who doesn't like, fall into any of the pitfalls that his dad does.
It's like, not in
being
name.
The worst.
Yeah. The art is done by a guy, I can't remember his name, but I think it's Gabriel something. But he's been doing the art for the entire series. Like all six volumes of the series have been done by these two guys.
That's good.
And it is fantastic. The art is great. I love the art. I love the writing. It's really good. Oh, and also, at one point, they are playing Magic the Gathering.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
I'm not even kidding. Like the guy has a D20 on the table. It's like, all right, I tap all my black mana to summon this thing. And then I cast an instant. And it's like, oh yes, man. Yes, tapping mana. Oh god, it's so good. It's, oh god.
Oh, I love it when you tap my mana.
Wow, weird.
Lock and Key is fucking fantastic. Omega is off to a pretty good start. It's a slow start, but it's a good start.
Huh.
With all the shit that happened in the last couple volumes, it's nice to just have like a break.
Yeah,
because in like the last volume, because in like Clockwork, shit went down. Like it went down the path, but shit went down. You know, people were again lobotomized magically. People were fucking killed, stabbed, murdered. Like it was horrible, and it was amazing. And then after all that, we just have this slow ease up to oh fuck, the end of the world is coming. It's up to like a 10-year-old ghost and his brother and sister who are in high school to stop them using magical keys.
It's a neat concept.
Yeah. So people, check out Lock and Key if you haven't got a chance to yet. It's the entire series, when all said is done, will only be 36 issues. You'll be able to 36. I'm not sure if it's 6 or 7 issues per volume. But seriously, check the shit out. It's an amazing series. So that is what we're reading then. On to news. We have 2 pieces of news.
Oh, okay, cool.
Wow, yeah, so, heavy news week.
Yeah. So what I think, first up, director Bryan Singer has confirmed on his Twitter account that Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart will be reprising their roles as Magneto and Professor Xavier in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, time travel and stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so old X and Magneto are meeting new X and Magneto.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking awesome.
I hope the Magnetos like team up and like hilarity ensues.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just waiting for hilarity in this one.
Yeah,
I want to see Xavier get drunk again. I want to see the Xaviers getting drunk together.
Yeah, well, it's post-apocalyptic, so they're probably already drunk all the time.
Yeah, it's probably just really depressing.
Yeah. It's funny, for those who don't know, X-Men Days of Future Past is the follow-up to X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
And it's based off of the 80s story arc where a future version of Kitty Pryde from a future where like mutants are like being hunted or are like near extinction goes back in time to try to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing this is going to be a slightly different take on it.
I'm actually think it's going to be pretty close, just like kind of changed to be a coherent movie.
What I'm thinking of is Kitty Pryde wasn't in First Class.
No.
So what I'm thinking it'll be, instead of having someone from the future come back to the past to try to change things, It might be like people. It might be like people from the past go to the future.
Yeah.
See what happens, and then end up finding a way back to the past to try to change things.
Yeah.
So they're gonna go into the future and say, "Dear God, don't make a third movie."
Yeah. It's like whatever you're doing, don't let X3 happen.
I liked X3. It had Ellen Page in it. That's pretty much its saving grace. Yeah. Actually, to be fair, none of them are very good except First Class. That's my opinion.
X1 was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, the original X-Men was pretty good.
It's pretty dated.
Yeah, I didn't like any of them that much. Actually, I thought the best of the trilogy was the second one.
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah, that's what everyone does, but I think it's kind of cheesy.
Yeah, it's bizarre, these movies.
They're all really weird. Because it's X-Men.
At some point, we're going to have to watch them.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Like, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Just a marathon. Marathon it.
Including X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, man. I don't need
to. No, not that one.
It's part of the series.
No, it's not.
It has X-Men in the
never,
title.
It never happened.
I put them all in the pool. The dead pool.
Then what's with the scar in my brain that was left by that movie?
It was an adamantium bullet that made him forget.
Fuck you.
That movie.
Drink it. We need
an adamantium bullet for me to forget.
What are you doing? Drinking to forget? I'm drinking to remember.
Anyway, Mark Millar, who's the creative consultant for all things Marvel that are happening over at 20th Century Fox, teased Days of Future Past last month, saying it was, quote, X-Men meets the Terminator. You got robots, you got time travel, you got superheroes. It's got everything in one film.
Yeah.
Really, does it have sex? That's part of everything.
Probably.
Does it have me?
No. Maybe. Maybe. Have you not told us? Maybe it's a cameo. We don't know.
Yeah, I'm just one of the
fat bearded men with Asperger's. Maybe
I'm one of the dead bodies.
You're one of the robots. You motion capture the Sentinels.
Yes,
that'd be pretty great, actually.
Yeah, just the entire time, their right foot is tapping on their hand, you're just like interlaced with each other over their stomachs.
I kind of like the sandals in this movie, but they seemed a bit wide.
That was mean.
Everything was real janky. Anyway, X-Men Days of Future Past is set for release on July 18th, 2014.
See you then, world.
Yeah, so... 2 weeks ago, Marvel released a teaser image that wasn't the 80 billionth The Future of Marvel Now teasers.
Oh, yeah.
But instead was just a page of binary.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, this was a teaser for The Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
This is something they've been working on for a while.
Yeah, it's been like 3 years.
Yeah. So anyway...
I knew it was happening, so that must really mean it's been... It's not news that it's happening anymore.
Well, anyway. So, this is happening, and we have some details on it. So, the series will be... the story will be having its own 10-issue miniseries, which will be released between March and June 2013. Brian Michael Bendis is going to be writing the series, which, yay.
Yeah, the Bendis.
Yeah. And so the first 5 issues of the series will be drawn by Brian Hitch, with the last 5 issues of the series being drawn by Brandon Peterson and Carlos Pacheco. Mm. Yeah, it's weird to switch out like artists halfway through a miniseries because, you know, it's a miniseries.
Yeah.
But apparently, according to Arun Singh, the director of communications over at Marvel, quote, "There will be a very cool reason for the artistic shift." I guess. Mm.
Yeah. Spiders.
Yeah, anyway, so the series is going to be following the Avengers in, quote, the darkest days of the Marvel Universe. Ultron, who is Hank Pym's Robo-Kid.
Yeah.
Has taken over the world.
Good.
And that's pretty much the entire plot.
Sweet.
Yeah, so Brian Bendis had the following statement to say about the series. "In the vein of Infinity Gauntlet, Secret Invasion, and Civil War, Age of Ultron is a massive Marvel Universe-spanning event. One of our most famous villains, Ultron, the super artificial intelligence, has fulfilled his destiny and taken over the world. This story touches every corner of the Marvel Universe and will have an amazing effect on things going forward. We have taken the time to do this right. Everything is gorgeous, every page matters, and most of all, something I'm very proud of, is that it will be shipping at a furious pace. Every day for the last year and a half, people have been asking me when this story will come, and I'm thrilled to announce that it is here." Yeah, so apparently they had a teaser image for it in the .1 issue that was released for, like, Free Comic Book Day.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't read.
No, neither did I.
Yeah. Well, like, Marvel has released some preview art for the series. All that is up on dustoprouts.com right now. And yeah.
Excuse me.
That's a happening.
Yeah. Looks pretty cool from this preview art.
Yeah, like, I really like the variant cover.
Oh, the one at the end, the last picture?
Yeah, the one with a gray Ultron in the red room. But his, like, I know this is weird to say, but he looks too built.
Yeah, he's got some abs there.
Yeah, he's got abs.
Robo abs.
Which is weird.
Makes me feel emasculated.
Robots don't need abs.
He also has a bulge.
Yeah, he's got a hella bulge.
Robots don't need a bulge.
Yeah, it's.
But it looks pretty intimidating.
It looks really awesome. Like, if you just took everything from the waist down and removed it.
It's an intimidating robot bulge.
Makes me feel emasculated.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you be intimidated by it?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I would not be intimidated by the robot bulge. I would just sand it down.
I love Ultron as a character because it just kind of... Like, there's a theory that I love on how Hank Pym is a supervillain but doesn't know it.
I can see that.
He's a supervillain who just really wants to do good, but he messes up as a supervillain.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm gonna shrink to be an ant and do good. I'm gonna make a robot, and Just everything's gonna go really good because of this robot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it just, like, turns into an evil robot. He's like, why is everything I do bad?
Yeah.
It's like, I love Hank Pym.
It's like, I'm not a wife beater, honestly.
He was mind controlled.
No, actually, the writer of that story arc actually didn't actually blamed the artist for that thing, because he actually wrote it so that he wasn't a wife beater. It was actually an accidental hit. He was like gonna do like a fuck off motion like with his arm, but like his wife was just closer than he thought, so he just ended up smacking her.
Oh no!
But then the artist drew it so that it looked like he intentionally slapped her upside the face.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, like so did Reed Richards. Reed Richards hit Susan Storm, and I think someone else hit someone else.
Yeah. There's actually a story arc a while back that actually hinted at the idea that Reed Richards, like the accident that gave the Fantastic Four their powers wasn't an accident. It was actually a science experiment that Reed was running.
Oh, seriously? I wouldn't be surprised. Reed is kind of a dick.
Yeah, like that was the thing. It was like they found Reed's journal, and they're like reading through it, and it was like an entry like the day after they got their powers. It's like the experiment seemed to be a success. The experiment seems to have been a success. We all have powers.
Oh, wow,
didn't die.
Reed a dick.
Yeah, it turned out it was actually like a plant from Doctor Doom or something.
Oh, okay. But, that's equally great though. Doctor Doom would like go into his house. And plant a journal entry just to make everyone mad at Reed.
And everyone bought it.
Yeah.
That's not even like supervillain level. That's just sort of being a dick.
Oh man, I love Doctor Doom. I'm gonna sneak into your place and make all your friends not like you anymore.
Yeah, I'm gonna sneak into your place and read your diary.
But he's like, in his whole Doctor Doom garb, like he's got his cloak and mask and crazy stuff.
Now you just see him in there, like with his all armor thing, but just like laying on his like stomach with his hand cradling his thing, with like his legs up in the air, like rocking back and forth, and he's reading it.
Yeah,
it's like, dear diary, Susan is so beautiful. Oh, what a fucking tool! He's not even being a dick; he's being a little brother.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I hope the reboot has that scene.
I actually read the reboot.
No, like the movie.
Oh, the movie. Okay, yeah. It's just him in, just him reading Reed Richards' diary in his armor.
Yeah, for 2 hours.
That's it.
I would see that movie.
That's
I would
the
see
entire the movie.
Yeah, like no, but that's actually the reveal at the end of the movie. Like everything is happening like normally, but then it just cuts out. But then it just cuts back to like Doctor Doom reading Reed Richards' diary. He's like, "This guy's a fucking asshole." It's like, you know what? I'm gonna turn this against him. He just writes it down. It's like, just go. It's about goes to the day they got the power. It's like the experiment was a success.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually makes a lot of sense. Like Reed Richards being a bad guy because. Like, in the Ultimates universe, he actually is a villain.
Yeah, Reed Richards is, yeah.
Well, he's either a villain or he's dead.
Oh, yeah, they did something.
Yeah, I can't remember what happened. It was part of Divided We Fall, I think. He blew up Washington, then they threw a bunch of shit at him, and it didn't work.
Yeah, but then they put him in, like, a bubble, and he was like, oh, no, now I'm in a bubble.
Yeah, like, he got... His city got hacked by Tony Stark's sentient tumor.
Yeah. I remember that.
Because Tony Stark is a sentient tumor.
Man, the Ultimates is weird.
It's fucking awesome, but it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Captain America's president, and Thor's son is, like, leading Hydra.
Oh, seriously? That's lame.
Yeah, Thor's son is leading Hydra.
That's lame and stupid.
Yeah, and... Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this week, folks.
Bleep, blop, bloop.
Yeah, so as always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds. We have at Bovie1 and at Steven_TC.
Heck yeah.
You can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DeathStoreProds and subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/DeathStoreProdsVids, YouTube.com/Bovie1, and YouTube.com/Dr. Thoraz. That's Dr. Thoraz. I almost said autists.
That's somebody else's YouTube.
Yeah. And please subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some reviews, listen to what you want to see more of, less of, etc. So, this week on the site, there is going to be personal issues this week. I promise you. I have my notes written down. I've reread the series. I have my notes. I'm going to start writing it tonight. Yeah. It's going to happen. Anyway, then on Friday, we're going to have the movies podcast as well as our final commentary track for TV Movie Month. We're going to be watching The Blues Brothers. Then next week, well, and then on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be having Anything Cast Live. Please join us at allgames.com/chat and let us think about what we're doing. Then we're going to be having video games on Tuesday, anime on Thursday, as well as the Anime Club supplement. We're going to be watching Nichijō that week. It's Nichijō. Sorry if I stuttered that. And then on Friday, we are going to be starting December Let's Watch.
What's December?
We'll tell you after this, but
it hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's still
we don't announce it until the first of the month.
Oh, okay.
But statistics have shown that Christmas is the time of year with the highest suicide rate. You'll see why.
Dead man hates all of us.
I already figured it out using my detective powers.
Well, anyway, while that's happening on those days, be sure to come back to the site every day for news, possibly a review or two, and videos. I'm making a conscious effort to put up more videos. So anyway, until all that stuff, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Obi-Wan.
I'm Steven.
We will see you guys next time.